Fedheads, welcome to Sharing Our Pairings, episode 12, Fall Seasonal Pairings. Thanks for joining in. It's me, Cigar Surgeon, your host, with my regular co-host here, Rob. Robbie Rass.
What is really happening, though? This is my question for you.
Well, it's Thanksgiving, at least for us Canadians.
Today?
So, yeah, well, no, not today. It's coming up this weekend.
Really? So yeah. Is Canadian Thanksgiving like American Thanksgiving? You have turkey and whatnot?
Yeah, same exact thing. Get drunk, play with your family. I mean, there's even football on, so that's good. You know, watch a little football. It's not the Thanksgiving game, but still good.
You know the Thanksgiving game is the Niners and the Seahawks? Or one of the
There's going to be dead people in the parking lot, guaranteed.
Yeah, what is going on? Did you see the video of that guy getting whooped down in the
bathroom? Man, those guys got to calm down. Calm down.
Yeah, we're getting off topic, but that's...
We'll talk about that in our After Dark segment.
Yeah, that's bad times, man.
So we're going to be talking about pumpkin beers. I know there's a collective groan from the cigar chat over at Cigar Foundation. You know, everyone kind of sick of pumpkin stuff already, and fall really just started. But you know what? There's some interesting stuff we're going to talk about. There's some interesting history behind the pumpkin beers that might surprise some of you guys. I'll talk a little bit about first what I'm smoking. I may have made a pairing error here. I went with the Serie V Especial 2011 from Oliva because it's quite peppery. I enjoy this cigar. It's full-bodied. We learned last week in our Stout show that you really need a full-bodied cigar to stand up to something that's full-bodied. And I assumed that because these pumpkin beers are going to have a lot of spices, they would pair complementary to a peppery cigar, but I might be wrong. So I've also lit up a Nub Connecticut from Oliva, which has gone out, sadly.
The host is never wrong. By the way.
Yeah, the house is never wrong. So, I mean, if I'm wrong on my pairing, I'll just say that it was on purpose and look like a cool guy or something. What are you smoking? What do you got lit up there?
I am smoking a Viaje Full Moon. It's got a little pumpkin on the band there. This is 2013 version, which I believe, I believe was the first one. Pulled up the specs on this one. It's a fat cigar. It's a 55x58 Gordo, Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper, Nicaraguan binder and filler. And it's got a very loose draw. This cigar has been in my humidor for a while. I picked it up, I believe, in a trade with someone on Cigar Federation. I know I didn't buy it. And Andre doesn't really do samples, so I must have gotten it from someone on Cigar Federation. I can't remember exactly who. But I just lit it up, so the only feedback that I have on it so far is that it's got a very loose draw.
Now, what I like about the Oliva Serie V, super, super excited about when they switch over to the San Andreas Maduro wrapper. I can't get enough of that. San Andreas Maduro wrapper to me is always, you know, that's going to put you in my good graces for smoking. Plus, it's got that tasty Jalapa Ligero. And, man, I love my Ligero. That Jalapa Ligero just has this, I don't know. It's got a particular character to it that I really, really enjoy. I know a lot of people are kind of hit and miss on Jalapa, but I love
it. Yeah, we were talking about it on Cigar Chat last week. Seth was co-hosting, and we were talking about some Nicaraguan tobacco with the guys over at Crux, and they use a lot of tobacco from Jalapa, and you know, the more Nicaraguan tobacco that I smoke, the more I realize that Jalapa has, like, there's a certain quality to it, there's a sweetness in there, and a creamy texture to it that for me is, it's creamy, I really enjoy that tobacco. When I see something that really features it, just smoked a cigar recently that features the Jalapa a lot, the Dissident Block. Maybe on Cigar Chat tomorrow, actually. but it's got that, there's just a great, creamy, earthy texture to it, kind of a molasses sweetness to it that I really enjoy. We're getting off topic. So let's talk about these beers. I know we've each got four beers.
Can I get four beers?
You ever see that?
Can I get four beers? No.
A little, you don't know what I'm talking about?
No clue. I'm just going along because I'm being a good host.
Oh, man, there's, I don't know if it was Funny or Die or some one of those websites, and it's this short called The Landlord, and it's Will Ferrell, and there's his landlord is this, like, two-year-old girl.
Oh! And yes. Can I get four beers?
I don't know. Anyway.
That one's pretty funny.
Anyway.
So, pumpkin ale. We're pumpkin ale is what we're pairing with today. I'll talk about what I'm pairing with here. I'll go through maybe some details after you go through your list. We can talk about them. So first up is the St. Ambrose. It's from McCausland Brewing out of Montreal. As we know, we've had some really great beers out of Montreal. Looks like a pretty standard pumpkin beer. It's got that amber color to it. Second up, the Alley Cat Pumpkin Pie. Again,
that sounds good. Color.
Yeah, it smells really good, actually. It's got a really nice nutmeggy smell to it. My fourth beer, even though it's my third beer, the House Sound Pumpkin Ear. I love House Sound beers. I just want to say one of the things that I think is friggin' awesome is they got this stopper. So you pour a little bit, you can put the stopper on. Really great for our show because, you know, I'm not going to drink, what is that, like 3/4 of a liter?
I know, it looks like a gallon, bro.
It is, in fact, 1.8, one quart of beer. So that's a lot. Anyways, again, same color. Now, the last one, which was the surprise for me, was the Fernie Brewing Company Pumpkin Head. And you can see this is significantly darker than the other ones. I'm super pumped because all I can smell off that is cinnamon. It's a brown ale, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that's what I'm pairing with. What are you pairing with? What do you got going on there?
I've got a few things. I went with some standards, a few standards here. Sam Adams Harvest Pumpkin Ale. None of mine are very dark. They're all pretty much that amber orange color. So Sam Adams Harvest Pumpkin Ale, pretty standard. Blue Moon Harvest Pumpkin Ale, not trademarked. Again, same kind of amber color. This one I've actually had before, and I'll admit two things. Pumpkin ale was my idea, and I just kind of threw it out there because pumpkin ale is everywhere and people love it. I have never been a fan. I've had maybe 3 or 4 in my life, and that would be like 3 or 4 sips. Not a fan until I had the Blue Moon, which came in like a sampler pack, because they've got a horchata beer in there that my wife really wanted to try. And so I found that, so I got that for her, and I ended up drinking the pumpkin ale because it was there, and I was surprised at how good it was. This one is Hermitage Brewing Fruit Crate Pumpkin Ale. These guys are out of San Jose, California, so local, but you can see same kind of color. And 9% alcohol by volume, by the way. Put it in perspective, the other two are 5.7 and 5.7.
Yep.
And then this big mamma jamma here, the Shipyard Smashed Pumpkin. This one, I anticipated this one being the darker of the three, or the four, and it's actually the lightest. This one's also 9% alcohol by volume. But the packaging, real nice, gold leaf on the bottle and everything. I have no idea my wife paid for these. She picked them up for me. So I'm curious. This one looks like, just based on the bottle, it's probably like $10 or $12. So better be good.
So I'm going to talk about the first brewery here because there's some interesting stuff I found out about them. Again, out of Montreal. We've had some really great beers out of Montreal. They actually opened in 1989. We had some chat last week when your idea, the pumpkin ale, which I'm super behind, people were not so stoked about it. Again, you know, thinking everything's too much pumpkin-y, this whole recent pumpkin craze. Well, guess what? This pumpkin ale actually goes back to 1997.
That's older than you.
Uh-huh, no. But, you know, they put out a lot of different beers. They have a recommended serving temperature on the website. And then one of the interesting things for me was they had two measurements for beers. The first was a Plato unit, and I was like, I have no idea what that is. And the second was IBU, and I was like, I also have no idea what that is. So, a little bit of knowledge for me. Plato unit is measures the density of beer wort as a percentage of extraction by weight. So basically what you're saying is, how much have you extracted the wort? Presumably the higher the number, the more you've extracted. So going quickly down the list here, the St. Ambrose is 13.5. The Fernie didn't have their number, so I'm not sure. The Alicat, exactly the same, 13.5. And the Howe Sound is 16.7. Now, what's interesting is I would expect the Fernie to be higher because it's darker. And usually the more you have on the Plato scale, the darker your beer is. So if it's a dark stout or whatever, you can have a much, much higher Plato unit. And the IBU is a measure of how much bitterness it has. So to give you a comparison, typical IPA, 75. Most of these beers, like the St. Ambrose, is sitting at 16. The Fernie Brewing is sitting at 13. Alicat, don't have a number on that. And then the Howe Sound, which is the third beer, I've got them out of order, is 19. So I'd never heard of those numbers before, and I kind of thought that was interesting.
I am wholly unprepared to contribute to this part of the conversation.
That's quite right.
But that's interesting. Mm-hmm. You got me looking on my bottles here for other numbers, but I got nothing.
Yeah, they are on my bottles too, which I find kind of interesting.
Is it like a Canadian thing?
No, I think it's. I mean, these all are Canadian beers. St. Ambrose is from Montreal. Fernie Brewing Company, my second beer, is from. Obviously, Fernie started in 2003. Alicat's from Edmonton, Alberta. Boo, Edmonton, but hey, Alberta. That's from 2007. And Howe Sound is actually the oldest brewery. Believe it or not, they go back all the way to 1980 in British Columbia. That's my third beer here. So Howe Sound is actually a pretty regular in my rotation. I actually like their brown ales a lot. Very tasty. So,
yeah, let's get started. What are you going to start
with? Let's get started. So I'm starting with the St. Ambrose. I've had this before. I love it. Nice thing about the pumpkin beers, which is, I think is kind of cool, is that they come once every season. So they are seasonal. They run them in the season, and then once, you know, they run them for 2 months, and then they're gone. I actually have this one from last year, believe it or not.
Look at you, aging.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it makes a difference.
I don't think it does. On these, anyways. There's a lot of clove on this, not as much pumpkin. It's tasty, like it's very subtle, so the pumpkin isn't overpowering. The clove goes really well with the cigar. I'm getting some interesting looks from people in the room here. Why is that guy talking to himself? Talking to the Fedheads. So it's a good beer, and if you want something that's just got a hint of pumpkin, this is a good beer because, you know, the pumpkin is not overpowering. Kind of meh on the pairing. I've got both cigars here going. We had a recommendation to try the Connecticut wrapper. I'll be honest, Connecticut wrapper is doing absolutely nothing for me. Like, it's hay.
I think it's going to depend on the Connecticut that you're smoking.
Yeah, probably.
After that, I saw somebody was pointing that out in the chat. I don't know if it was Jared. I thought about switching up to a stronger Connecticut, like an AKA Solace, or someone mentioned the Nomad Connecticut, which I don't even think I have one of those. The AKA Solace is the first one that popped into my head. And maybe that's something I'll try on my own and just kind of report back about it. so far, this Viaje is not super strong. It's got nice, almost seasonal flavors to it. I mean, maybe that's a placebo thing on my end, but it's got kind of a baking spice situation happening, which is pairing pretty well. But I started with the Blue Moon first. And I imagine this is going to be the sweetest of the beers that I've got here. Maybe the Smash Pumpkin Ale from Shipyard is going to have some sweetness to it as well. But this is very baking spice, a lot of nutmeg and cinnamon and pumpkin pie flavors that you would expect. It's just a really... It's a good beer. I mean, it's a wheat beer, and it's just, yeah, it's a pumpkin, or it's actually, it's not a wheat beer. It's a pumpkin ale crafted with flavors of cloves, allspice, and nutmeg, yeah, it's all that stuff. brewed with a touch of wheat for a lightly spiced finish. I like to read the bottles. It's kind of a thing.
Go ahead. I was going to say that actually takes us right to our first break. So we'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. This segment is actually brought to you by Armed Forces Radio Network. Since it is Canadian Thanksgiving, I am wearing my my T-shirt. Picked it up from Eddie Ortega. He's running a drive, and basically what this is it's I'm going to butcher this, but it's Wings for Warriors. So it's a non-for-profit organization that takes in money for wounded warriors, helps them out. It's a great project. As far as I'm aware, 100% of the funds are going directly to the charity. So I couldn't turn that down. I picked up a shirt. I know I'm Canadian, but you know, I appreciate what American Drifts do for Canada, because they're not just protecting Americans, they're also protecting Canada. So this Thanksgiving, this Canadian Thanksgiving, thanks very much for all the Canadian and American troops out there.
Cool. Yeah, I think Eddie's still selling those shirts. I know I, when Catfish first posted that up on SigFed, I went over there to get one. And he had done like an initial run, and that was it. So I signed up and said, hey, if you're going to do another run, I want one. And I just got an email the other day that they're doing another run. So they're probably available if you go to, I think it's just OrtegaCigars.com.
Yeah, I think what happens is they get a certain number of orders, and I think it's 14 or something like that, and it'll push it to run another order of shirts. So if you want one, like I said, it's for a good cause. Check it out. We've got the link on SigFed. We'll post it on the pairing show after as well. On the pairing
page. And it's a cool-looking shirt. Just to wrap up this first pairing, that was so rudely interrupted while I was talking about. They're dropping bombs over there again, dude. That's crazy.
They're coming for me.
It's unreal. This pairing's nice. The beer in and of itself is sweet. The cigar is much more earthy, and it kind of dirties up the flavor a little bit, which I kind of like. There's a joke there. I'm going to leave it alone. But nice juxtaposition, I think, of flavors with this first pairing.
So it's working for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not. I mean, I'm not freaking out about it, but I'm not mad about it either.
Okay. And this Oliva Nub Connecticut, which I actually really enjoy this cigar with coffee. For me, it's a nice morning afternoon cigar. I'm gonna take a couple more draws off it, but really not doing anything for me with this pumpkin beer. It's just not a good combination. Like you said, maybe if I'd gone with a Nomad or something, perhaps stronger, but I'm not sold on the idea of pairing Connecticut with pumpkin at this point. Not sold.
You got to go with something that's got, that's one thing I've learned. You've got to go with something that's got some kick to it. It doesn't have to overpower everything, but I mean, especially with these beers, because they're going to be bright, they're a little bit fruity, there's some spice in there. So with that, I think you have to play off that spice, at least for me. If you have the cigar, a cigar that's real creamy, doesn't have a whole lot of kick to it, I think you're gonna drive it right into the ground. It sounds like that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting some really odd flavors off this nub after having a taste of the pumpkin. And odd flavors is not usually something I want to describe on a cigar. It's like the nutmeg is sort of interplaying with the hay, and I'll tell you, Matt, it's a funky combination, not a good one for me, I don't think.
Nutmeg and hay. That doesn't do a whole lot for me.
No, so I'm gonna have some draws of this Oliva Serie V. It's gonna be nasty in the first draw. Actually, the Connecticut with the Serie V Maduro. Also a bad combination. I get a weird, funky flavor for the first couple draws.
Yeah, I've noticed that whenever you switch from one cigar to the other. Now, yeah, while you're doing that, switched over to the Sam Adams. This might be the darkest of the three. This or maybe the Hermitage, but, I mean, not a big difference, really. I mean, you look at these two. Yeah. Not much of a difference, as I'm showing that people listening on radio. But this is far less sweet than the Blue Moon. This Sam Adams. It's got more character to it from a beer standpoint. It's got more of a beer type flavor to it. Almost tastes ginger in there.
Yeah, that's it's interesting you say that because I took a sip of my Alley Cat, my second beer, and that is significantly different than the first one. Ginger, orange peel.
Yeah, there's a definite ginger note in here.
Yeah. It's interesting because, again, I'm not getting a ton of pumpkin. It's more this I think the spices that I'm tasting off of that, and I mean this is the pumpkin pie, so you know.
Yeah, it sounds like these are pumpkin pie and the Sam Adams might be pretty similar.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it's not I'm not getting a ton of pumpkin. I mean, you read the again. I like to read the little thing on the label here. It says. Early New England colonists were nothing if not resourceful. Lacking traditional malts, they added pumpkin to their brews, and the first pumpkin ales were born. Our adaptation uses a blend of caramel and roasted malts, along with real pumpkin, to create a rich depth of flavor, unmistakable character.
So there you go. There you go, haters. That goes back quite a number of years.
Colonists.
Before Starbucks is around, you know, there's no Starbucks with colonists, so. You know, you can hate on Starbucks for ruining it for the rest of us, but pumpkin's been around for a while.
It's weird. This tastes like ginger beer. Like one of those, like, the strong Jamaican ginger beer.
Yeah, that's actually a good description.
I love to mix that with Make It Dark and Stormy. That is fantastic. But, yeah, it's
different.
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's just not what I anticipated. I actually like it.
Yeah, this is good. This is a good pairing combination for me.
It's the juxtaposition of the flavors, and I don't know if I've never tried this Sam Adams without pairing it with a cigar, and I probably should moving forward try the stuff before and then after.
Because you have no idea what it tastes like now, regular.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's my fault, but this is one of those situations where the and we've talked about this before on the show where the pairing is so different, the flavors are so different that. They don't necessarily complement each other. They contrast, but it's in a way that's not offensive. It's a contrasting flavors that I like. It's interesting.
Now I'm gonna try this Connie because I said it would.
You keep going back and forth between the cigars, and your palate's gonna be worse than mine.
Same kind of thing as the first one, really. I mean, this is not. I would think that Connie would go really well with a something fruity, you know, like a really light ale.
Summer ale.
Yeah.
Like a summer wheat.
Like a summer wheat or something infused with some fruit.
Something with some citrus in there.
It's a mixture. Yeah, but like a Stiegl Radler, which is
A what now?
Grapefruit Stiegl. We'll do a funky beer show at some point. Stiegl Radler. It's like a grapefruit beer. Sounds absolutely disgusting.
It does.
And I had one, and I gotta tell you, it is the most refreshing beer on a hot day, because
really?
It's like it's weird. I'm not a fruit beer guy. Normally fruit beers are not my thing, but Stiegl Radler on a hot day is so refreshing. It's just got the right amount of effervescence and yeah. Yeah, this Connecticut, which is delicious on its own, just not a winning combination with this pumpkin beer, I'm afraid.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say, from a pairing standpoint, this is far and away my most... this show will be my best pairings, most successful pairings, because these both of them have been really good. Very different. Very different. But I think the beers are very different. One's much more sweet. The other one's a lot more earthy with that spice to it. Earthy is not the right term. It's a lot more. It's got a lot more spice than sweetness.
Yeah, baking spices.
Earthy was not the right term. The cigar's got the earthy. But the balance, it's almost delicate, and I really like it. I'm surprised that to have them, the two beers be so very different with the exact same name, both play well together.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's surprising. I mean, you know, obviously, neither of us are brewers, but it's interesting to me that you could find beers that are in the same category. And I guess it's, you know, it's akin to stouts, where even though it's a pumpkin beer, you know, there's a lot of levers you can pull there to come up with combinations. So, you know, these two beers are definitely very different, even though they're in the same category of pumpkin ale.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, so far I might give the edge to the Sam Adams. It's it's got a more that fall feel to it. And, you know, while we were getting ready to do this show, and I'm grabbing all these beers or beers that have all the spice and, you know, fall feeling to them, I'm thinking, man, I want to pair this with some pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
Smoke a pipe and try some of these, too. So I know that that's not really what we do here, but that might be fun to do at some point. Just because the, you know, an aromatic pipe tobacco, my very extremely limited knowledge, might pair well with these as well.
Or even maybe some port. It's really just an excuse for me to pour port. But I think some pipe tobacco and port might be really interesting. Anyways, completely off topic. And before our next break here, I'm going to cheat and move on to my third beer.
Yeah, I'm doing the same.
Pumpkin Eater, which, I love the design on here. You know, it's got like it's got that great pumpkin on there. It's got a lot of writing on the side. You're talking about story, and they've got the story of the brewery on the side. Known as the grandfather of craft brewing in Canada, we are very proud of John's ongoing relationship with our brewery. High-gravity pumpkin ale brewed with barley, fresh-roasted pumpkin, hops, cloves, cinnamon, nutmeg, star, anise, which is interesting, water, and yeast, produced in limited quantities. So, I drink this on a regular basis. I really enjoy their beer. So I'm expecting I'm going to really enjoy this today.
So for my third, I'm going with the Shipyard. Hello.
Wow.
Okay, go. Tell me about it.
That is pumpkin in a glass. That's what I was expecting.
Is that good?
Pumpkin. No, it's good. It's like a pumpkin pie.
Yeah, pumpkin pie and pumpkin, very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like pumpkin pie. Now that is good with the Olivia Serie V. This is like my mind is almost going to a pumpkin pie with whipped cream on top. It is that pumpkin pie-ish. I'm really, really digging that with the sort of chocolatey spice of the pepper of the Olivia Serie V.
So I moved on. Shipyard, Smash Pumpkin. This one's got like a whole dissertation on the back. I'm not going to read all of it. I'll give you kind of the cliff notes. 9% alcohol by volume. Smash Pumpkin is a big body beer, light coppery orange color, pleasing aroma of pumpkin and nutmeg. It's pale ale, wheat, and light Munich malts, combined with a natural tannin in pumpkin and the delicate spices of pumpkin hops. There's a sweetness and some fruit. This is the fruitiest of the three that I've tried. I know we got to go to a break, so we'll get into a little more of the detail on the other side.
Cool. Well, we'll be right back after these messages. All right. So thanks for tuning in to everybody, the Fedheads podcast people. I know you guys don't get a lot of love, so we're going to try and up the love. We appreciate anyone listening to the podcast, even though you're not listening live. Thanks very much for subscribing, tuning in, listening on iTunes or YouTube. this segment is sponsored by the Cigar Federation store. Get in, order up some Mason Dixon project. Great lineup for the Cigar of the Month Club this month for October. If you're not signed up for the Cigar of the Month Club, there's tons of new cigars. This is the time of year where like there's tons of new stuff. There's some La Barba Purple pre-sale going on. Lots of cool stuff. So get in there, get some samples, get some singles, get some five packs. There's lots of cool items in there.
Oh wow! You know, I had that whole time you were talking and the camera was on me. Does that make me an egomaniac?
No. Not unless you were preening and fixing your eyebrows.
No, I was trying to turn on a light, so I didn't look like I was in witness protection. So this Shipyard, this is the one when I was at the ballpark yesterday celebrating with my San Francisco Giants on their way to the NLCS to play Logan's Cardinals. That's going to be interesting over the next couple weeks.
Oh, that's going to be an ugly show.
Anyway, we'll get more into that probably as the series unfolds, but maybe we'll do something fun. And I asked my wife, because she was picking these up for me, I said, when you go to BevMo, ask one of the guys there about the pumpkin ales and get one that's kind of like I want a big, bold, you know, like a stronger beer.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one. I mean, this is full-bodied, as they say. But it's the flavor of it, to me, is brighter and fruitier. There's a lot of citrus in there, orange peel, which has that fall note to it. But the juxtaposition of flavors here, it's okay. It's of the three, this one would be my least favorite. I think this might be my favorite beer on its own, based on the way that it tastes. But this almost feels more like a summery type beer, like we're talking about. I would think that a Connecticut might go better with this one.
Okay. And again, sort of the same experience. I'm really not doing justice to this nub. Not good with this house sound. This so far is by far my best or my favorite pairing here. This Levisserie V, like I said, it's got that chocolatey, creamy undertone with the pepper. Perfect, perfect complementary pairing with this particular house sound pumpkin beer. Like I said, it's pumpkin pie in a glass. Like it's absolutely delicious. It's got the right components of anise and cloves and cinnamon and allspice, and like it's a dessert in a glass to me.
And, you know, after talking a little bit, let the beer kind of work its way off my palate, took a sip of water, took a puff of the cigar, and while you were talking, I took another sip, and slowing down my rate of consumption of the beer actually brought the flavors more to the forefront. I was getting a lot more of the spicy stuff this time, a lot more of the nutmeg, the allspice.
Interesting.
It's kind of funny, because the first few sips and puffs of the cigar, they were butting heads a little bit, but it took a sip of water, cleansed a little bit, and it's a lot better now. That's strange. I don't know. I mean, other than maybe just taking a sip of water every now and again, no matter what you're pairing with, is probably a good thing. But that cleaned it up a little bit, and that spicy, sweeter notes of this are coming out.
Well, and I mean, to be fair, with what we're pairing here, you know, normally you wouldn't try and go four different beers with a single cigar. That's probably not how you want to do things. So, one at a time. Like I said, for me, this house sound is the winner. I'm going to come back to this in a few minutes because I'm really enjoying that. But I'm going to move on to the last, which is the Fernie Brewing, which is this dark one. Ooh. And I'll let you continue on with yours.
No, I've got one more to do.
One more to do.
But yeah, it's interesting. I think my favorite part about doing this show is, I mean, really, we're not experts with beer or, you know, whiskeys or whatever. You know a ton about whiskey. I don't. I know if I taste it and I like it, I know that. I don't necessarily know why. I'm still learning the difference between the regions in Scotland and things like that. But the trial and error of it, I know that and it's something that we need to point out because it's not perfect. And this isn't normally how you would want to try pairing things because, you know, you're throwing a bunch of different things at your palate and eventually you're going to get saturated. But the trial and error of it is really the fun part for me because I feel like I'm learning a lot about these different styles of beers, comparing them, contrasting them with one particular cigar. I don't know. I just kind of like the experimentation of it all.
Yeah, and I think what we've learned through these shows. I mean, this is episode 12, so we've been doing this for a little while now. And I think one of the big takeaways is, you know, we've had some surprises. We've had preconceived notions, and then they've been blown out of the water, like with the IPAs, with the stouts. You know, we went in thinking something would pair well or something would pair poorly, and then just experimenting, flipped it on its ear. So, you know, I mean, cigars aren't cheap, but they're also not $25 a cigar. So, you know, I think you should have fun, experiment, try. You know, I think especially with whiskey, the key is to push the envelope. you know, I used to hate Islay whiskeys, and now I love Islay whiskeys. And the only reason that is because I continue to push my palate and try new things, and I think, you know, we've certainly done that in the pairing show where I've tried a bunch of combinations that I probably wouldn't have tried on my own unless we were, doing this for our audience.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I still take away the cream soda pairing with that Siri R Esteli from La Gloria. I never would have paired those two.
No, it's such a strange combination, right? You wouldn't think cream soda in anything other than, you know, being a 12-year-old kid would go well and getting hyper on sugar. But yeah, that was pretty interesting.
So I've moved on to Hermitage Brewing. This is a Fruit Crate Pumpkin Ale. These guys are local, San Jose, so right down the street from me. They don't have much of a story on their bottle here, except that pregnant women shouldn't drink it. 9% alcohol by volume. It is brewed with California Heritage Pumpkins, whatever the hell that means. I don't know what a heritage pumpkin is. I know there's like those... The whimsical pumpkins that look like something out of a Disney movie that are all different colors and stuff. They're kind of flat. Maybe that's a heritage pumpkin. I really don't know. But this was the darkest of the three by a lot, so I figured this would probably have the most body to it, which is a common misconception in cigars, but I think with beer it might not be that much of a misconception. But this one's definitely the most full-bodied of the four that I've tried. It's got more bitterness to it. It almost has kind of stout qualities to it. That little bit of bitterness and the heavier flavors. I'm not too sure how I feel about the pairing just yet, but I'll experiment a little bit more. Tell me about which one you're drinking.
So this is the Fernie Brewing Company. Again, they don't have a story on here either, but what they do have is a really cool image of a creepy pumpkin dude, which I dig. I like that. I like the art. This is definitely more allspice and cloves than any of the other three. Surprisingly, it's not as full-bodied as I would expect given the color. It's enjoyable. I would say this is probably the most balanced of all three. This is more sort of spices and pumpkin together. So rather than being a pumpkin pie, you know, it's really the combination of pumpkin and spices, which is interesting and tasty.
It looks good, just based on the color. I'm judging it by its cover, which you're not supposed to do. But based on the artwork on the bottle and the color,
it's all about the artwork.
The color of the ale itself, it looks like something that I would enjoy. Just to get back, I'll wrap up this Fruit Crate. It's okay. I think on its own, I think this would be pretty good. The pairing is okay. They're not mad at each other, but they're not like making out in the corner either. Just kind of, I don't know why I went with that analogy.
After dark, man. Go steer for after dark.
Anyway.
18 plus 7.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's fine. If you know, I'm somewhere and I really wanted this beer and I happen to be smoking a cigar, I don't know if I'd be too happy about it. I'm not going to go out. Of the three, I could see myself pairing these other three with this particular cigar, which I only had one of, and I'm going to buy some more. Oddly enough, Andre from Viaje posted up on Facebook today that these are going to start shipping in 2014. They're going to start shipping pretty soon.
Nice.
Same blend. I'm not sure about the Vitola, but it's a good cigar. It's not blowing me away, but I really do. Oddly enough, it's got a pumpkin on the band, which is really the only reason I threw it in my option. I had people vote on which cigar I should smoke, and everybody picked this. And I'm glad that they did, based on the way that this has all worked out. The other cigars that I had in there, and I know people commented, would have been way too strong, I think. But this pairing probably won't revisit. I am going to pick up some more of these cigars just to have with some pumpkin ales, just because it's kind of fun. But the pairings with all these other ones, and especially that Sam Adams, really, really good. I'm impressed with the balance of the earthy and pepper notes from the cigar with the baking spice and the sweetness of the beer. They play really nicely together.
And one thing I'd like to say is that I think on its own, You know, I've tried four different beers, and on its own, all of these four beers are something I would enjoy. Like, every single one of these beers are enjoyable to me. Especially the St. Ambrose. Like I said, it's a regular in my rotation. House Sound is a regular in my rotation. Alley Cat's new to me. Fernie Brewing's new to me. I would have to give the edge to the House Sound because, again, it's that. To me, it's pumpkin pie in a glass, and especially with the Maduro, where it's got that chocolate, a little coffee, a little pepper, that is a really, really good combination. I don't think you can go wrong with that. If I were to do this on a regular basis, I'm with you. Most of these other beers, this is not the cigar to go with them. Maybe a Nomad Connie or something with a little bit more full-bodiedness in a Connecticut wrapper might be the way to go. But again, they're all tasty cigars, or they're all tasty beers in their own right. So I'll continue to drink those. I just won't necessarily pair them.
Yeah, one thing that I am going to take away from this though is that pumpkin ales are pretty good. I mean, there was a lot of I posted this up on Facebook, and there's a ton of comments. One of the cigars that I was thinking about using or smoking with, using as a pairing, was a Roma Craft Cro-Magnon Mode 5. And Skip commented, he said, please don't pair my cigars with pumpkin spice anything. and so I think, in a way, they get a bit of a bad rap. It's chick beer or what have you. These puppies are 9% alcohol. That is not a chick beer. I mean,
that is not a chick beer. That will put you on your backside.
If you want to say it's a chick beer and mean that as a negative, let's put it that way. I wouldn't say that these are. There's nothing about these beers to me that says to me that I would be, you know, embarrassed to order it at a bar or anything like that. I mean, this is good quality stuff that we're talking about. So.
I'm gonna interrupt you there because my girlfriend's gonna be all over me for calling something a chick beer. I'm gonna get hell for that later. But
you didn't say it, I did.
Yeah, fair enough. My girlfriend actually only drinks full-bodied beers. She can't stand light beer, light ale. She actually thought she hated beers until she got into stouts and porters and, you know, really full-bodied beer because. For whatever reason, she is a complex palate. She enjoys the fuller bodied beer. So it's kind of funny that something might be called a chick beer, and if you gave her a Miller Lite, she would throw it in your face because it's disgusting. But you give her a Guinness, and she'd love it. So
your girlfriend sounds pretty awesome.
She's pretty awesome.
She sounds like a good woman. My wife, she likes the beer, but she likes Coors Light too. So. But she'll run the gamut. She's more of a she likes the ciders and things like that. So I guess in a way that those are a little bit more cliched chick drinks, if you will. But some of those ciders are really good too. Maybe a cider episode wouldn't be bad.
We really need to do a cider episode. I absolutely love ciders. Actually, I love ciders.
You know, I've had a handful. Somebody brought cider to our Halloween party 2 years ago. It was an apple cider, and it was fantastic. And it was in these like aluminum bottles, you know, like the Coors and Bud bottles that are opaque, you can't see through them. You know,
aluminum, yeah.
Yeah, aluminum.
Aluminum, yeah.
Are they aluminum? Is that what it is? I really don't know.
No, but that's something they say in the UK.
Okay. Well, I've never seen this beer or this cider since, and I've been looking for it, and apparently it's something that's brewed in Sonora, California, so I'm going to have to check it out because my wife's mom lives up there. But I've never really done cider, so I think that might be a fun episode.
I think we might have to do that in the near future. But that actually takes us right up to our first regular normal segment. And I want to thank our Fedheads. I want to thank the AFRN listeners. I want to thank the podcasters. I know you guys sometimes, most of the time, can't listen to us live, but we appreciate you listening to us anyways. We like your input, so feel free to comment on the page. If you have a suggestion of a cigar pairing or a beverage pairing or whatever, please send it to us. We'd love to hear from you. And again, thanks very much for our regular listeners. We're 12 episodes in. We've still got people tuning in, so that means we kind of offended you too bad. So appreciate that audience. Rob apparently doesn't care about the audience. He has nothing to say.
Well, no. Well, see, I did the opposite, because last week I ran over you at the end, so I was trying to let you finish, because it's your show.
Thank you.
But no, this I'm telling you, if you guys have this Viaje, Full Moon, 2013 is what I've got, but the 14s are coming out. And pick up some of this Harvest Pumpkin Ale from Sam Adams. It's a nice pairing, man. The sweetness comes out. There's still that little bit of ginger in there. It's very unique, and I really do dig it. But and I appreciate the audience, but they already know that.
And for me, again, Olivisiri V and the Pumpkin Eater, winning combination, pumpkin pie in a glass, absolutely delicious. Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. We have Cigar Chat at a regular time, 8 p.m. Eastern, with Dissident. Next week, presumably Rob and I will be on. Don't know what we're going to be doing, but it'll be exciting. We appreciate you guys tuning in next Wednesday. Thanks to our audience, and thanks, everyone.
Drink less and drink better.
Drink less, drink better. And we're fucking back.
I shouldn't have to remind you what your tagline is. Come on, bro. That's rookie shit.
Well, you know, what happens is you smoke 2 cigars, you drink 4 beers.
I have 4 beers? You have to look that up.
Can I have 4 beers? No, it's actually hilarious. Little girl,
she throws this tantrum because he's not paying his rent, and she's
just funny. It's pretty funny. Awesome. I like Will Ferrell. So I'm gonna like get going right off the start with NFL talk, because I love talking NFL, and the season's pretty much done for me. I am both happy and sad with last week. I am happy because I went 13-2. That's right, 13-2.
Not too bad.
I have no idea. So hopefully our audience will take a look. But I'm in a football confidence pool, and like a dum-dum, I unfortunately underrated one of my division rivals, the Buffalo Bills, in their game against the Lions. And that cost me a significant amount of money for the week.
Woo, girl.
Yep. Yeah, it was bad.
Dropping ducats.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the kids say.
That's what the kids say.
I know I went out on a limb with some of my picks, and I know some of the ones that I thought were going to be, like I was going out on a limb and maybe they'll win. I had a couple that went into overtime that I know the Saints, I didn't pick the Saints, but they could have very well lost. And so you beat me last week, but I don't remember exactly, because we pretty much agreed on most. I went out on a limb on a few.
Yeah, there was actually, I mean, I think what we were right on is almost all of those games last week, other than my team's game, which, you know, it'd be nice if they showed up and played football. They were all really good games. You know, they were hard games. Most of the games, like you said, I think it was like 3 or 4 games last week that went into overtime. That is a good game when a game goes into overtime. That is an exciting game. I enjoy that.
Yeah, my Niners won.
Nice.
Which is good. They looked better. Oh, I got some hiccups going. Excuse me.
Nice.
I am still worried about Colin Kaepernick.
Not doing what you want him to do?
You know, it doesn't look like he's doing... I don't know. They got back to the running game last week. Frank Gore... might be my favorite NFL player of all time.
Wow.
And I'm biased. I loved Roger Craig when I was a kid. Something about the way Roger Craig played. It's just when he's running and his knees are up near his face because his knees are going so high. But Frank Gore gets so low when he's running through. It's like you can't get your pads under him.
Yep.
And he just is no bullshit. Just he's not making it rain. He's not... you know, beating his wife, and I'm not making light of anything. It's just if there's a guy that you want to have to kind of hang your franchise on, the face of your franchise, he's that type of player. He's a lunch pail kind of player, I guess, is the cliche of it. And I really didn't mean to make light of anything, and I'm not. I just it's refreshing to see a guy who goes out, does his job, and cares about it. And when a lot of these other guys, and it's all me, and he's not like that at all.
I would love to wax poetic about my team, but I have absolutely nothing good to say about the Jets right now. They're playing garbage football. No one on the offense seems like they want to be out there and win a game. everybody on the defense is like bending over backwards to try and win that game. So, you know, this is my shout out. I'm sure none of them care what I have to say, but as a fan, they need to get out there and win football games. I mean, if they need me to go out there and suit up, I'm sure I run a 40 in like 14 seconds, but you know
what?
Week
and
a half. Week and a half with some oxygen thrown in. But you know what? You're getting paid to play a game. You're an athlete. You've been playing it your entire life. Go out there and show some heart. You know, you may not win the game, but you should at least look like you're trying to win the game. And honestly, I turned off the game in the end of the third quarter because I was so disappointed with the performance. It was just, and that's not to take anything away from Phil Rivers and the Chargers, because I thought Phil Rivers really brought it. They look good.
Even with no running game.
Even with no running game, which they brought. So I'm going to go down my list. It's probably out of order because I'm going in confidence this week from most confident to least confident.
Okay.
And then you let me know what you think as we go. So first off, the Stone Cold Lock of the Week, and this is a shout-out to the Jets. This should make you angry. This should make you feel disrespected. Peyton Manning's Broncos over the Jets. That is my Stone Cold Lock of the Century of the Week. Peyton Manning got robbed last week on his he was setting some league records. He will set those league records this week. I'm expecting Peyton Manning to throw 4 touchdowns and over 500 yards against the Jets this Sunday.
That matchup right there is the reason that I think it's completely stupid to bet on sports. Because that's the one where you're going to put, you'll lay $5,000 to win 1,000. Or whatever, I don't know what the numbers are. And that's the game where, you know, the Jets aren't going to announce who the starting quarterback is. And at the last minute they put Michael Vick in there, and he runs for 150 and 2 touchdowns. And he throws for 210 and 2 more touchdowns, just like Russell Wilson did. And they end up winning the game. That's the kind of game where you look at it and you're like, I'm not even going to bother watching it because it's going to be 55-10. And it ends up being like 24-21. And Peyton Manning throws a pick on the last play. That's why I can't bet on sports.
So do I take that to mean you're going to be taking the Jets over the Broncos?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's what I thought.
No, I'll take the Broncos. But I'm just saying that game to me has that feeling. It's like, oh, that's a lock. And then the
trap,
next thing,
trap game. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Trap game. Yeah, there you go. That's game. Just a long way to explain that. But go ahead.
So number two, my second most confidence, and I feel bad because I am a Cowboys fan. Man, Seahawks at home.
Cowboys
like,
fan?
What? Yeah, I'm sorry. Seahawks at home. Like, man, you talk about one of the toughest teams in the league. The only other team I can think of that would be as tough at home is the Patriots, and I hate the Patriots. Fuck the Patriots for all you Patriots lovers out there. that is my second most confident pick of the week, Seahawks over the Cowboys.
I can see that being a trap game too. But, no, I agree with you. The Seahawks are a good team, and I hate the Seahawks. I really do. I really, really hate their coach, Pete Carroll. And I've actually had like personal interactions with him.
Wow.
That have caused issues when I was working at UC Berkeley. We would do on-field promotions. This is when he was coaching USC. And his team, he would have, like, in between, I want to say inning breaks because I'm in baseball mode, in quarter breaks, they would kind of, you know, come together and huddle as a team, but he would do it at like midfield, on the field. And like, I'm trying to do this punt, pass, and kick that Honda paid us $50,000 to do, and he's yelling at my guys, and like somebody punted the ball and it landed within 10 yards of them. He went over and kicked it out of the way. And I'm like, bro, we got something going here. I understand he's trying to win a football game, but
you heard it here first. Rob throwing down on Pete Carroll.
We all have our job. That's my Pete Carroll story. But yeah, I'll agree with you. I love Russell Wilson. I wish he played for another team.
Fair
Any
enough.
Other team.
Now, the real trap game of the week here for me is Chargers and Raiders. Now, the Chargers are actually a 7-point favorite for this game, and I don't know why, because the Chargers and the Raiders hate each other.
That doesn't matter.
they play smash mouth football, and every time the Chargers face the Raiders, it is a close game. I'm picking the Chargers. I am putting it as my third most confident game for the week, but I think this is the trap game of the week. I think that the Raiders could come out and win that game, especially with the change of coaching. Head coach?
Absolutely not. I am more likely to sprout breasts on my forehead than the Raiders are to win this game.
Wow.
And that's an image. Maybe that's why I wear a hat all the time. You'll never know. No, there's absolutely no way that without hell freezing over or, you know, pick your cliche, the Raiders will not win that game. I would lay the points. I would all of that. I don't care what. Even if it were 14.
Bold prediction of the week, that is going to be a three-point spread game by the end. 3 points.
I'll take that bet, bro, all day, every day.
So you heard it here first.
That is no way.
Moving right along because we're running out of time. Redskins face the Cardinals. I don't know why this is a three-point spread game. The Cardinals might have lost last week, but the Cardinals are looking like a very complete game team. The Redskins are not playing good football. This is a three-point game. I've got it as my fourth most confident, only because of the spread. But honestly, I think this is going to be a blowout. I think the Cardinals are going to just take this one. It's going to be like a two-score game. It's just going to be out of control.
Is it in Arizona?
It is in Arizona.
Yeah, I'll take the Cardinals.
Okay. Jags versus the Titans. Sorry, Jacksonville. You're not playing good football. Titans are going to win this one. It's a six-point spread. It's going to be like 20-point spread by the time this game is over.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know if I would agree that strongly, but I would agree.
Okay. Panthers versus the Bengals. I know the Bengals lost last week, but come on, man. It's Tom Brady and fuck the Patriots in New England. Man, going to New England and playing football, that is like one of the toughest places in the league to play football. I don't think that takes anything away from the Bengals. Nothing to take away from Cam Newton, but sorry, but the Bengals are going to beat the Panthers this week.
This is our first disagreement. Where are they playing?
In Cincinnati.
I'll take, and I did this last week and they lost, but I think they lost. Did the Panthers lose last week?
Yeah.
I'll take the Panthers again.
All right. Colts face the Houston Texans. Texans lost against the Cowboys, but it was a very close game. Texans have been playing really strong defensive football. Colts are a very strong offensive team, but it's in Houston. 3-point spread game favors the Colts. I'm going with the Texans on this one. This might be the upset of the week of my picks. Colts might come out and embarrass me, but I'm going with the Texans on this one.
I'll take the Colts there. We're going to disagree. That's two that we disagree on.
Okay. New England Patriots versus the Bills. A lot of people are going to be on the Bills bandwagon. I think the Bills have been playing good football. Patriots have got their groove back. Patriots are going to win to Buffalo, and Patriots are going to win. It's going to be a high-scoring game.
It's in Buffalo?
It's in Buffalo.
That's a tough game. I think that's. Mm-hmm. I think the Patriots will win. I'd be curious to see what the spread is.
3 points.
Two?
Three.
Yeah, I'd take the Pats and lay the points.
Giants in Philadelphia. Now, this is the ultimate trap game because it seems like the Giants are playing well.
Philly.
The Eagles are 4-1. I don't know how the Eagles are 4-1, but they're 4-1. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. They're a 3-point favorite. It's in Philadelphia. I'm going with the Eagles over the Giants. Giants might just embarrass me on this one.
Talk about two teams that hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to winning a big game, I don't have a whole lot of faith in Eli Manning. I don't watch him all that much. He's the lesser of two Mannings, which, I mean, whatever. He's still a better quarterback than I am. But, I'd take the Eagles there at home. I'd take the home team in that game, whoever it was.
That's the Eagles. One of the most interesting games of the week is going to be Packers versus the Dolphins. Now, I'm really on the fence with this one because I respect the Dolphins even though I hate them because they're a division rival. But I think Aaron is in the groove now. I think the Dolphins are on the decline. It is in Miami, but Green Bay is not afraid of the heat. And I think the Packers are going to come in and beat the Dolphins at home.
I would agree. And I don't think it'll be that close.
Okay. Now, my bizarre pick of the week, the Ravens come into Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. Now, this is exactly the kind of game that the Ravens lose. In Tampa Bay, Buccaneers getting no respect. Baltimore doesn't prepare for this game. It's a 3-point favorite to the Ravens, but it's in Tampa Bay. I'm giving this one to the Bucs.
I think I would take the Bucs too. I don't think much of the Ravens. I really don't. I like Steve Smith because I think he's a badass, but beyond that, I don't really. I think Joe Flacco is just horribly overrated.
Flacco! 49ers face the Rams. I don't know if anyone's paying attention, but the Rams are 1-3. They'd be 1-4 if they didn't have a bye week. 49ers are going in, and they're winning. It's a 3-point spread game. I don't know why. 49ers are taking this one.
That's my lock of the week, baby. Lock it up. I'm waiting, and I'll be quick on the rest of them because I'm going to talk about the Niners a little bit. I'm waiting for that game where the Niners come out and say, all right, fuck the bullshit. We are a Super Bowl contending team, and just stomp someone. Just kind of step on their neck and stomp them. And this is the time to do it. I mean, granted, the Niners are facing, they've got a lot of injuries, a lot of key players out. I don't know if Vernon Davis is going to play this week. One thing that I do think is Derek Carrier, who's their number three tight end, he looks like he's a bit of a player. He can catch the ball and he can make some plays, so he's not a difference maker. But Crabtree's not 100%. There's a lot missing. There's a lot missing on that defense. The defense is still playing really well. I think this is the game where they get the lead, they take it, and they just kind of run away with it. It's not one of those where I'm worried about the last possession of the game. This is my lock of the week.
Okay. Bears go into Atlanta and face the Falcons. I think the Falcons have lost some games that they probably shouldn't have. Bears have not been playing great football. I don't think people were watching the Jets game, but the Jets almost beat the Bears. That was a very close game, and the Jets are not playing good football. I think the Falcons are going to beat the Bears.
I think it's two middle-of-the-road teams that – I mean, the Falcons, I think they can explode. I don't think they have. I think they can. They're at home. I take the home team.
Okay. Steelers face the Browns in Cleveland. Browns have not been getting a lot of respect this season. And
I like the Browns.
You know what? I have a good heart. I feel for the Browns. They're almost my team. They're like a huge underdog. You know, if this was in Pittsburgh, I would have to give the edge to Pittsburgh, but it's in Cleveland. I honestly think the Steelers are going to lose to the Browns.
They're playing each other again. This is their second time this year already. Mm-hmm. And I think the Browns should have won the first one.
Yeah.
Their defense is suspect.
Very suspect.
But they can move the ball, and they've got a decent little offense. With Brian Hoyer at quarterback, I mean, he looks okay.
Yeah.
If they had Josh Gordon, they would be a winning football team.
Yeah.
And if they had a semblance of a defense, they would be a nice team. They almost kind of remind me of Atlanta like 4 years ago or 5 years ago, right before they got really good, when they had some moving parts and they were able to do some stuff. I think they're a team on the rise potentially. But yeah, I would take Cleveland here too.
Okay, last but not least, the Detroit Lions versus the Vikings. Now, this is a 1.5-point game. I have no idea why. The Vikings are a disaster at quarterback, and the Lions would have won their game if they had a freaking quarterback or a kicker. Like, I don't think people are paying attention to Detroit. Detroit is playing decent ball, and I'm not a Detroit lover. I don't know why this is a 1.5-point game. I think Detroit is going into Vikings with a Pro Bowl kicker, and they're going to win this game handily.
For those of you playing fantasy football, if you don't have a top-flight kicker, run out and add Matt Prater, because you will then have a top-flight kicker. Kicking in a dome on a high-powered offense, that's the most I've ever talked about a kicker, probably the most I ever will. I like the Lions in this game, too. Even if Megatron doesn't play, Golden Tate's a good player. He showed this past week. And even without Joique Bell, They've still got talent on that offense, and I think they've got enough to win that game for sure.
Kicker only matters when he misses 3 field goals.
True story.
Yeah. All right. That takes us over time. And
so wait, before we stop.
Yes.
I want to start a new thing, and I didn't run this by you, and this is your show. So,
surprise.
So you can veto this if you want, but I'm thinking since every week we come into the show and we have 3 or 4 different beverages that we're pairing with,
mm-hmm.
and we're sticking with one cigar for the most part. You tweaked that a little bit today.
Yeah.
I think that for every show, we should, that day we're going to post what our pairings are going to be, what we're going to try to pair, and I think everybody who watches on the Cigar Federation page before the show starts, tell us what you think my favorite pairing is going to be, and what your favorite pairing is going to be.
Nice.
And whoever wins, whoever gets them right, or the closest, will win a prize from me.
Nice.
How do you feel about that?
I dig it. Let's do it.
And I only want to promote it going into next week's show. So we'll promote it leading into it. But then I'm not going to promote it anymore. I want it to be kind of a thing. If you watch the show, you know, so you're going to get involved.
Podcast listeners, you have a leg up here because you're not listening live.
Yeah,
so.
So it's so every week before the show starts, or you know, they're time stamped when they're posted. At least before we start saying what our favorite ones are, and maybe that'll be my job to keep an eye on what the comments are. You know, post on the site what you think our favorite pairings are going to be. Whoever gets closest to right, we'll get some kind of something. I got a ton of cigars I can send out and some swag. But if anybody ever gets both of them right, and you one guess per person.
One guess per person.
You can't come in and just get everything. One guess.
Email rob at cigarfederation.com.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, just post them up on the site. I'll pick the winner. And if anybody gets them both right, then you get, like, some super prize. I don't know what it is. But yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Sponsored by my humidor.
Sponsored by Rob's humidor. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for podcast listeners. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow with Dissident Cigars at 8 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to tune in next week when we do something for episode 13, probably ciders, at our regular time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Thanks very much for our listeners. Drink less, drink better.